Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Well, it's Friday, and we are going to wrap up our very short series covering our new book, Mormonism 101, Revised and Expanded, Examining the Religion of the Latter-day Saints. And as we mentioned earlier in this week, this is a book that Eric and I wrote back in the year 2000. Baker asked us to update it, and we were glad to do so because a lot has happened in the past decade and a half. And so what we've done in this book is we've not only added a few bells and whistles to it, but we've updated a lot of the quotations. And what does that tell us? It shows us that Mormonism really hasn't changed all that much in the past 15 years. I know we keep hearing from some Christians that, well, gee, it sounds to me like the Mormon Church is getting rid of all this old baggage, and it sounds like they're heading more towards a Christian understanding. We would disagree with that. I don't see that at all. Now, it's not to say that there hasn't been a lot of confusing things that have been said recently that need to be clarified. And that's kind of what we want to talk about in this show, because today's show, we want to look at chapter 11 in our book, Grace and Works.
Before we do that, I just want to mention that this book is something that I think every Christian who knows a Latter-day Saint ought to read and study. And in fact, if you'd like to study, at the end of each of the chapters, we have discussion questions, and we have provided as well a study guide for leaders who would like to be able to use that. So if you wanted to use this in a small group situation, we had people doing that with our book, Answering Mormons' Questions, with great success, and they enjoyed having that leader's guide. It's on the internet on our website, mrm.org/Mormonism101study guide, if you put hyphens between those words. I would recommend, if you know a Latter-day Saint, you really ought to study this and understand the material so that you would have something to work off of when you're trying to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friends and neighbors.
One of the things that we did, as we did in our earlier edition of this book, is to start off the chapters with a citation from some kind of Mormon source, either a manual or from maybe even a BYU professor or a leader in the Mormon Church. And in chapter 11, titled Grace and Works, we have a citation from President Heber J. Grant. And this is what he said. We are told that faith without works is dead. That as the body without the spirit is dead, so also is faith without works dead. And he cites James, he says, 2:17 and 26. And I am sorry to say that there are many professed Latter-day Saints who are spiritually dead.
Now, I wonder if Latter-day Saints think that in the old days that people were more faithful than they are today. What would Heber J. Grant say about today's Mormon population?
Yeah, and I don't get the impression in reading this citation that Heber J. Grant was saying that there are Mormons who don't do anything. I think there are probably a lot of Mormons that do a lot, but is it enough? And that's what we wanted to tackle in this chapter. Now, again, we start off with a short section on Mormonese, and we deal with the word covenant. We deal with the word grace, mercy, and salvation, how it's been understood by Latter-day Saints. And as we show, the word grace is an enabling power or means available to all humans in order to achieve eternal life. In other words, grace is a doctrine in Mormonism. It is understood that it is what gives the Latter-day Saint the ability to keep the commandments, to repent of all their sins, to keep their covenants that are necessary in order to gain eternal life. Because it's only when the Mormon has done all those things that they can have the assurance that the grace that will forgive them of their sins kicks in.
Now, second counselor of the First Presidency, Dieter F. Uchtdorf, gave a talk in the April 2015 General Conference called The Gift of Grace. And how could a Christian use this chapter to maybe respond to some of the things that Mr. Uchtdorf has said?
Well, let's do that, because in his talk, he made a statement that really caught my attention. He said, salvation cannot be bought with the currency of obedience. Really? When I heard that, I thought, is he being serious? I mean, when a lot of Christians heard that, And I know this for a fact. When some Christians heard this, they thought, whoa, this is new language. And it may be new language, but I don't think Dieter F. Uchtdorf was at all trying to contradict past leaders of the Mormon Church. And who am I talking about? Well, let's take 4th President Wilford Woodruff. He said, if a man does right, is valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ, obeys the gospel, and keeps his covenants, when he passes to the other side of the veil, he has an entrance into the presence of God and the Lamb, having kept celestial law. If you want to get into the celestial kingdom, Latter-day Saints know they have to keep celestial law. What does that involve? It involves obedience, keeping your covenants, keeping the commandments. This is what Wilford Woodruff taught. But yet, what does Dieter F. Uchtdorf say? Salvation cannot be bought with the currency of obedience. But yet clearly we see Wilford Woodruff is including that.
Well, that was said a long time ago. Wilford Woodruff, maybe things have changed since then, Bill.
Well, where did that quote come from?
It's actually from a Teachings of Presence of the Church manual that was actually studied by the church a few years ago.
So if they're using this citation, that even though it was first stated many years ago and it's found in a current manual, it's just as valid today for the Latter-day Saint as it was when it was first spoken by Wilford Woodruff.
And that's what we really tried to emphasize. We tried to get as many manual quotes, general conference quotes, so that somebody couldn't say, well, that was just his opinion. How about Joseph F. Smith? This is what he said. Every blessing, privilege, glory, or exaltation is obtained only through obedience to the law upon which the same is promised. If we will abide the law, we shall receive the reward, but we can receive it on no other ground.
That certainly didn't sound like what Dieter F. Uchtdorf was saying in April of 2015 General Conference. Remember, he said salvation cannot be bought with the currency of obedience. Certainly, we've seen so far that obedience is very much a part of the exchange. Then we have another quote on page 169 by George Albert Smith. And mind you, folks, this book was written long before Dieter F. Uchtdorf gave his talk in April 2015. This thing was already in the hands of the publisher. We didn't know what Uchtdorf was going to say in conference.
And what's interesting, we had so many of these quotes, I decided to make bullet points. And it's 2 pages full of bullet points of great quotes that we can use when trying to respond to somebody who comes to us with Uchtdorf's article and says, hey, look, this is the way we are. We're just like you. Well, George Albert Smith said this, being a member of the church and holding the priesthood will not get us anywhere unless we are worthy. The Lord has said that every blessing that we desire is predicated upon obedience to his commandments. We may deceive our neighbors and we may deceive ourselves with the idea that we are going through all right. But unless we keep the commandments of our Heavenly Father, unless we bear worthily this holy priesthood that is so precious, we will not find our place in the celestial kingdom.
And then we have Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the Mormon Church, who said, and we cite him on page 170, through obedience to those commandments which are set forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by continuance therein, we shall receive immortality, glory, eternal life, and dwell in the presence of God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ, where we shall truly know them. And then we have another quote, and there's other bullet points here, but we want to hit on this one. Ezra Taft Benson, the 13th president of the church.
He said, listen to the spiritual promise. All saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures. Some have thought this promise was contingent on just keeping the provisions of the word of wisdom. But you will notice we must walk in obedience to all the commandments, and all is italicized. Then we shall receive specific spiritual promises. This means we must obey the law of tithing, keep the Sabbath day holy, keep morally clean and chaste, and obey all other commandments.
That must strike horror in the hearts of many Latter-day Saints, that you must keep all the commandments. And when you ask most Latter-day Saints, of course, they're not sure if they're doing that. For many of them, they can't even name what all the commandments are.
And we have a lot of quotes in these chapters, and all of these, again, were added in new that we did not have in our first edition from 2000. But I like this quote from on page 171, where 70 Bruce C. Hafen taught, "If we must give all that we have, then our giving only almost everything is not enough. If we almost keep the commandments, we almost receive the blessings."
And right above that, we have a citation from Robert D. Hales, who currently serves as a Mormon apostle, where he talks about the sacrament service. And he says, "We take his name upon us, and we renew our covenant of obedience and our promise that we will always remember him." Again, there's that word obedience. So you wonder why, when we did our short series on Dieter F. Uchtdorf's talk that he gave back in April of 2015, you wonder why we said, boy, that's got to be confusing for not only a lot of Christians looking from the outside in, but how confusing to many Latter-day Saints. Because certainly what he says there in that short sentence, that salvation cannot be bought with a currency of obedience. Now, he does go on to say it is purchased by the blood of the Son of God. But remember, that's got to all be put in a proper context.
This chapter, Grace and Works, is our longest chapter by far. It's 30 pages. I think it has a lot of information. So if you have somebody bringing Uchtdorf's talk to you and saying that Mormonism is Christianity, you can use those quotes, I think. At the end of each of the chapters, including this one, we have the discussion questions that I mentioned earlier that can be used in a group context. And if you go on our website, you can go to that study guide for the leaders, and that would be helpful in trying to lead a group study. And then we give a final thought. It's kind of a conclusion in essence, and we basically say, what do you do with this information in one paragraph? That's what we do. And then, as we've mentioned in the earlier shows, we do give the notes at the very end of each of the chapters. And I like that a lot more than having to go to the back of the book like you had to do in the first edition. For the second edition, they're all right there. Don't ignore these quotes. I would have this open and look at some of these. We have some gems back there. We decided not to put with the regular copy, but we wanted to have that available for you. Now, Bill, a lot of people are probably wondering, how are they going to get this book?
They can get it through mrm.org, and for a limited time, we have this offer that if you could help us out, because as I mentioned before, we're getting into the summer months, and for many ministries, that's what's known as the financial summer slump. And if you'd like to help us out financially, we're offering a signed copy of Mormonism 101 for a gift of $35.01. It's the 1 cent that tells us that you would like to have a copy, a signed copy of this book. So if you'd like to help us out, $35.01 or more, and we'd be glad to send you an autographed copy of this book.
Again, don't forget that 1 cent, no matter how much you send over $35. And that's on the top of our website. Click right onto that article. It will tell you everything you need to know. And it also has a link to that study guide for the leaders that I was talking about earlier.
We thank you for listening and hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.